The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
The 14th Women's Big Ten ACC Challenge continues with a doubleheader tonight. You got Michigan, Louisville, 7 Eastern, then Duke and Iowa, both games on ESPN and the ESPN app. One app, one tap. Before we start a new hour here, I want to show you this. After beating East Carolina last weekend, Cincinnati coach Luke Fickell celebrated by doing pull-ups in the locker room. How do we feel about these pull-ups? Bart, what do you think?
Minus. Like, what is he? It's a lot of lower body movement going on right there. Now I'm gonna give him a mulligan because, like, you know, you look at the roofers right there. See now, see what happens. Now the kids go crazy. Somebody get hurt. That's how people get hurt. But I tell you what, D Wood. I've seen D Wood do way better. Look, listen, the knee is coming to the chest. What the hell is that?
I don't know. Does that make it easier?
It makes it easier.
Not my area of expertise, D Wood.
Yeah, that's like a fat man pull-up right there. Like, that's what, you know what I mean? Like, when we trying to, you know, kick our feet and all that type of stuff, like, I would do that. Like, I would expect somebody much smaller than me, do it better.
You don't even have to be fat to not be able to do pull-ups. I can never do pull-ups. Remember in high school and grammar school, you had the President's Fitness Award?
Yeah,
you guys remember that?
Jump a hard type
I can
stuff.
Never get the blue ribbon because I couldn't do the darn pull-ups. So, fat, skinny, doesn't matter.
With that, we welcome you back to live from the Super Bowl. As always, brought to you by Chase. We have a huge hour coming your way. Chrissy, roll it. Let's go. It's time to get up with a Thursday night necessity. The Cowboys need to have it. While everything seems to be working against them, are they on upset alert tonight? We'll start there. Meanwhile, the biggest game of the weekend comes after the weekend. How did the Bills stop the Mac attack and reclaim the division? We'll go there live. Plus, can anything save the Steelers with everything going wrong and their arch rivals ready to end them once and for all? All that and more as we get up with you on this Thursday. Starting right now with the weekend, which starts tonight, week 13 in New Orleans. Cowboys and Saints. Cowboys have lost back-to-back games. And you know what? It gets worse. On Thursdays, they've lost 5 straight. That's one shy of matching the Giants for the longest active streak in the NFL. This is good news, mostly. Wideout Amari Cooper activated off the reserve COVID list after missing each of the last 2 games. He's listed as questionable for tonight. Not certain how effective he'll be able to be, but we do expect him to play. And then for New Orleans, Taysom Hill makes his first start at quarterback this year. Saints 0-4 with Trevor Siemian as their starter, 3-1 with Hill starting last year. And I want to dive right in there because frequently, you know, we will see big college teams struggle when they play the service academies because they play an offense that is just so different. They don't have the same caliber of talent, but it's just not an offense that you see. And I feel like you're telling us the Cowboy defense might struggle tonight because Taysom Hill and that offense could be very unorthodox.
No, absolutely. You talk about Taysom Hill. He defines your coverages, right? If you go cover one, then your back's turned to cover 5, he's going to just take off, right? Because you don't have anybody to account. So that means you have to put a spy on him. And he's a guy that can run an unorthodox offense and make you play 11-on-11. That's the beauty of it. That was the beauty of the Wildcat with Ronnie Brown. The only problem was that he couldn't throw the football. Now, Taysom Hill is a quarterback, but he still brings that physicality in between the tackles. You know, you can use Alvin Kamara. If Alvin Kamara, listen, this is one of those games where you talk to Alvin Kamara and you make him like Varsity Blues, you take him to the back and you make him understand. Like, listen, it's time to go ahead and take this needle, bro. You know, we need all hands on deck, and this is a must win.
Yeah, I got bad news for you, though, right? They had a beat-up offensive line, and I was told that Alvin Kamara most likely will not be playing tonight.
Listen, Turnbull's a hell of a drug.
This is going to be Taysom Hill and Mark Ingram, and that's it. So this Cowboys defense really needs to be put to the test tonight, or at least it will be put to the test tonight, against a very injured, lackluster New Orleans Saints offense.
Well, they're injured, too, on Dallas.
They are, but if they can't beat a Saint, I mean.
It's a great defense.
Who is Taysom Hill throwing this ball to today?
The point is, it feels like we've had a couple of games where we thought, oh, this is the one the Cowboys will turn it around. On Thanksgiving was going to be that day when they would get things turned back in the right direction. I can't even fathom, D. Wood, what we'll be saying tomorrow if the Cowboys lose this game tonight to Taysom Hill and the banged-up Saints.
I can. Same old Cowboys, right? We've been, you know, it seemed like most of the year we've been saying that – oh, this Cowboys team is different. You know, from the way they played against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, you know, at the beginning of the year, just games that, you know, going up to Foxborough and beating New England in Foxborough. We've been saying the Cowboys, this is the year. The Cowboys are different. I don't care that the fact that the Cowboys won't have Mike McCarthy and other players. If the Cowboys lose this game against the New Orleans Saints, everybody's going to say, it's the same old Cowboys right. that we've been seeing for the past, you know, 20 years. Talented, start out fast, but then November hits and they just wither away.
Well, that's the point. Lewis Riddick, let me bring you in here because, you know, we talk about get right games, right? We have those. Mm-hmm. This feels like it should set up that way for the Cowboys, but they have stumbled in what felt like get up games, get right games before. What do you see tonight, Lewis?
Yeah, I mean, look, you can't trust them at this point until they give you a reason to trust them, especially considering that they've lost three of four. And it's an issue right now. It is. They need to play a certain style of football tonight, which is mistake-free. The defense needs to go ahead and quickly adapt to an offense that's going to look a little bit unorthodox with Taysom, obviously, in terms of his ability to run. And they need to wind up going ahead and not making those mistakes down the stretch that would cost them a game that they conceivably, well, really, for all intents and purposes, should win considering the talent differential, what they have and what New Orleans doesn't have. But, look, this is a must-win game. And I know there's people saying, well, they have a comfortable lead over Washington. They still have a two-game lead. Washington is playing a different style of football right now. They don't look like Dallas. They look better than Dallas in terms of the consistency of their execution. And they are gaining confidence, especially coming out of their bye now 3-0. So Dallas needs to make sure they keep that lead on them. Make sure they continue to send the message that, look, we're the class of this division. Because the last month of the season, they play Washington twice. So we're going to find out a lot about whether or not all of the early season hype about Dallas being a favorite to be the NFC representative in the Super Bowl was warranted. Or is it the same old story that they find a way to not be able to follow through on what were high expectations? That's the beauty of the NFL. That's the beauty of the way this schedule was set up. And that's why the month of December is must-see TV in the NFC East. It just is.
And you saw it. Washington has five division games left. Yeah. Final word, Diana.
I think Taysom Hill isn't 100% healthy, so that's going to be in favor of the Dallas Cowboys. And this will tell the story, the tale of this Dallas team, if they're not able to beat a very, very beat-up New Orleans Saints team.
All right, we see. That's where the weekend will begin tonight. In the meantime, we will not see Aaron Rodgers and the Packers this weekend. They have their bye, and Rodgers today is celebrating his 38th birthday. His team currently the third favorite to win it all this year at plus 750, trailing only Tampa and still Kansas City for all the ups and downs of the Kansas City season. Of course, it was the Bucs that knocked Rodgers and the Packers out of last year's playoffs in the NFC Championship game. And so with these two legendary quarterbacks right now and their teams clearly emerging as we go into December in the NFC with Rodgers at 38 and Tom Brady at 44, the question that we want to set up here is, and Bart, I'll start with you.
Yes.
Which one of these teams do you trust more? Let's say the quarterbacks are both going to be brilliant, and there's reason to think they both will be. Which team do you trust more, Bucks or Packers, as we enter the month of December?
You know what I said in our production meeting?
Yeah.
But I think I believe in terrific Tom Moore. I know what I said.
Wait, you changed from the green to the blue?
Something hit me in my soul. Something hit me right in my chest. And I said, how dare you go against terrific Tom after what he's done to you over and over and over again? I just want to hate him so bad, but I can't because I love this retirement Tom down there in Tampa. I love the way that he goes about business. But when I look and I think about this Tampa team, they have two of everything, Lewis. They have two of everything. I think it's going to come down to a battle of attrition, and that eventually, when you look at the roster of the Green Bay Packers, they don't have enough pieces. When you look at terrific Tom, he has two of everything. Antonio Brown, arguably one of the best receivers in the game, has been out, and they just continue to keep on ticking. And then finally, I think they hit on something with Fournette last week. They have to run the football more. So I know I said it. I'm sorry, TV people. I'm sorry for all the people with the animation. I jacked up, but I can't lie to myself. I can lie to y'all. I can't lie to me.
Yes, let the record show. I'm here. It says Packers. I have this piece of paper.
It's a lot of me.
It says Packers. But that just goes to show you, right?
What can I tell you? Lewis, how about you? Packers or Bucks? Who do you trust?
Man, I don't even know what to say, man. Bart, man, you're disappointing me, man. Don't flip-flop. I'm trusting the Packers. I'm trusting the Packers because of, and it's close. But it's because of what they've had to overcome. It's because of how good this look, when we saw them earlier in the year against the Detroit Lions in Monday Night Football in the first month of the season, I said the Packers will go as far as their defense improves. The defense now is right there on par with the offense in terms of its ability to make game-changing plays at crucial moments and shut down some high-powered offenses and play championship-caliber football. On the offensive side, Aaron has had to overcome his own issues as far as health, being out with COVID, not practicing, not having, you know, a consistent cache of weapons on the perimeter, his offensive line having people in and out, particularly at left tackle, where the best player on the offensive line hasn't even been there in David Bakhtiari. Elgton Jenkins is now hurt. So now they're on their third left tackle. Look, this is a football team, though, that continues to beat up on some real good football teams. And here's this, the running game. You see that guy on your screen right now, A.J. Dillon? Have you seen his quads and his calf lately? Have you seen how people kind of approach him as the game gets into the third and fourth quarter?
You know this. He'll bite the hell out of his calf.
Hey, guys,
I'm talking about the Packers, Bart. I'm not talking about the Bucks. When you watch this 1-2 punch in the running game for Green Bay, along with the passing game, along with the improvements on defense, they're going to be tough to deal with, man, in January. They just are. And remember, I know Tampa went up to Green Bay and beat them last year, but it was because their defense played very, very well. Tom tried to turn that game over to the Green Bay Packers last year. He tried to, and Green Bay wasn't able to take advantage of it. I think that same scenario plays out this year. It's going to be a much different outcome.
And, Diana, they've got people coming back, too, right? Green Bay's got people coming back.
They do. The health is on their side. But then, guys, it's like we have short-term memory. Do you guys remember what the offseason was like? All the drama in Green Bay, Aaron Rodgers, we all said the same thing. He's going to come back, and he's going to have everything to prove, to show Green Bay, you shouldn't have messed with me, you should have kept me happy, because this is going to be my final season, right? That's what we're assuming. This is going to be it. What better way for Aaron Rodgers to go off to say goodbye to the Green Bay Packers, which, you know, an organization that he had loved, the fans he loves, to win them a Super Bowl. I have more trust and belief in what they can do. I know Lewis ripped through the whole, pretty much every reason I have as well, but that defense, that's the difference.
D Wood, how about you?
I hate to pick against Tom, but gotta go with Green Bay.
Wow.
Gotta go with Green Bay. And the main point, the defense. The defense is that much better than 2020.
So what defense is better, Tampa or Green Bay?
Right now, Green Bay.
Years ago, you'd go into Green Bay, and you knew that you could take advantage of their defense. Now, these guys are physical. Talking to the Rams players after the game, they all share that.
Are you disputing that? Are you disputing that?
Joe Barry's doing a good job.
Every single conversation has descended or ascended into an argument here.
I know, we fight a lot.
I'll leave it here for the moment. We have
he's my locker mate.
Let me get up and go here, though, because we got a lot of other news coming out of the world of sports, including, oh, by the way, baseball is locked out.
Oh, yeah.
That happened at midnight. Major League Baseball locking out its players early this morning after months of talks yielded little progress towards a new labor contract. It's baseball's first work stoppage in 26 years. And Buster Olney earlier this morning here on the show said, don't expect to see them back anytime soon. In other news, Notre Dame defensive coordinator Marcus Freeman has emerged as the leading candidate to replace Brian Kelly as the head coach. No deal has been finalized as yet. Freeman is finishing his first year as Notre Dame's defensive coordinator. And then NBA, what a battle between the Hornets and the Bucks. Under 10 seconds to go, LaMelo Ball hitting a three to tie the game at 125, but it's Giannis who gets the last laugh with the game-winning layup with 2 seconds to go right there. LaMelo finished with 36, Giannis with 40. Good one in the East last night, and the Bucks get the win. Meanwhile, coming up, we're going live to Buffalo with the biggest game of Week 13. And the biggest question, can the Bills do anything to slow down the red-hot Pats? Plus, the Steelers are reeling, and the first-place Ravens are coming to town. Can anything save Pittsburgh now? We'll answer that question as we roll on. It's Get Up on ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
We need your help with a fight that began one night when one man gave one speech.
Don't give up. Don't ever give up.
So don't give up on me.
It's V-Week at ESPN. Our partnership with the V Foundation highlights the urgent need for cancer research and the elimination of racial disparities in cancer outcomes. You can learn more and help support by visiting v.org/donate. 100% of your donation goes directly to cancer research. All right, back to the football conversation. Game of the weekend comes after the weekend. Patriots, Bills, Monday Night Football, Buffalo, alternating wins and losses over its last six games. New England entering on a six-game win streak. Here's Mac Jones talking about facing a tough Buffalo defense.
They present every challenge. One of the top defenses in the whole country, and they don't do a lot of things bad, so we just have to be ready to go. They have a really good mix of experience and team speed, and they play hard and they play together, so it's a great defense, and they don't really have many flaws.
That's quite accurate. Here's Mike Reese, who covers the Patriots for us so well, live in Foxborough. This Mac Jones has been brilliant, Mike, but this will be the biggest test of his career so far. How is he preparing for what will be a hostile environment in Buffalo?
Greeny, here's the question. Are you ready for Mac meets Mafia Week? Mac and the Bills Mafia. Passionate fan base, right? And I asked Mac yesterday, I said, what's the most hostile environment that you've ever played in? And he said in college as a backup and as a starter, he's played in some cool places. But he said, that's college. This is the NFL. He said, this will be new to me. Greeny, the Patriots are 5-0 on the road this year, but really, they haven't been in a hostile environment. They're going to turn up the noise at practice. And Mac said you try to block out the noise, you try to visualize what it will be like Monday night. But he said, quite frankly, until you experience it, you'll never really know what it's like.
All right, he'll find out. He's playing the Alabama-Auburn game and all sorts of other hostile environments. I think that part of it will be fascinating. Now, you've been on the Patriots beat for a long time. I've had a bunch of people on this show this week, Mike, suggest that they think this is Bill Belichick's best coaching job ever. How would you contextualize the job he's doing this year?
So, Greeny, let's start with Devin McCourty, 12-year veteran, one of the longest tenured players on the team. He said yesterday, Bill, at 69 years old, one of the things that stands out to him is how much he enjoys coaching this team every year, and he still sees that this year. And that's been very consistent over the 22 years he's been the coach. And I would say here, a lot of people are asking, is this the best coaching job he's ever done? The standard has always been here in New England, 2001, that first year when Tom Brady became the starter. They won that first Super Bowl championship. And then you could pick any of the other Super Bowl championship seasons. How about 2008, when they lost Tom Brady on the 15th offensive play? They went 11-5 with Matt Castle as the starter. As for this year, I would say it's a contender, Greeny, because it looks a lot like 2001 at this point.
Yeah, and it's got a ways to go here. They got the Bills twice in the next three games. If they should win those and go into the playoffs pretty strong, that could change the debate. Mike Reese, outstanding. Thank you, as always. We'll check in with you as the week continues. Now, entering the game, the Bills have, according to our analytics, a 67% chance to win the division. If they win this game, that would go to 84%. But if New England wins, the Patriots would have a 64% chance. So we've said repeatedly this morning, this is the biggest game of the year so far. And Lewis Riddick, you will be there to call it. Of course, the game is on Monday Night Football. And so I just want to sort of give you the floor here as you've been looking at the film and everything in your preparation. What are the things that are standing out most for you as you prepare for this matchup?
Well, I think without a doubt, styles make fights, styles make football games. Look, we saw just a couple of weeks ago out in San Francisco, what a physical dominant style in the trenches can do to a football team and for a football team here in late November, December football. We saw what San Francisco did to the LA Rams. That's how New England wants to play you. They want to play a dominant physical style of football in the trenches on both sides of the ball and test your will, test your toughness, test your ability to be able to withstand that kind of physicality for 3 hours, 3.5 hours. And when teams have done that to Buffalo, when the Tennessee Titans did it to Buffalo on a Monday night football game that we had down in Knoxville, or not in Knoxville, down in Nashville, and then just recently when Indianapolis went into Orchard Park and did the same thing as far as their ground attack and how they attacked Buffalo, they weren't up to the challenge. That's what makes me so intrigued about this game is can Buffalo withstand the physicality that New England is going to present to them? Not just with their three-headed attack on the in the running game on the offensive side of the ball, but on defense, man, where right now their defensive front seven is like an amoeba. They have so many different interchangeable pieces. They have big bodies up front. They can still play smothering man coverage in the back and maybe not as good as they have in the past. They've mixed in a lot more zone recently, but they still play very fundamentally sound defense, and it just becomes a blue-collar type of game. And that is what makes me more excited than anything, because it's going to be snowing, it's going to be cold, and then we haven't even talked about this. The contrasting styles and experience of the quarterbacks. Mac Jones, Josh Allen. Mac Jones, the ultimate stewarder of the ship right now. He's not just, you know, he's not just a game manager. I don't want to put that label on him. He is just right now directing the ship in a way that Josh McDaniels wants him to. Playing smart, complimentary football. Able to push the ball down the field when he needs to. The wide receiver core getting better. You know, Kendrick Bourne, all of a sudden now, who you see on your screen, has become a big threat, big play threat. Nelson Aguilar, do not sleep on him because he will get over top of your defense and rip your heart out if you don't pay attention. This and then Josh Allen, look, we know how good Josh Allen is. We know that this guy is one of the best athletes in the NFL regardless of position. That he can throw it, he can run it. Brian Daboll relies on him as much as anyone in the NFL. This has storylines for days in this game, but really what this game to me comes down to is this. Physicality. Who is going to win the physical battle up front? Because whoever wins that will win this football game, and Buffalo better be ready because that's what New England is going to hit you with right off the bat. Are you willing to withstand these punches that we're going to throw at you over and over again in the trenches? I cannot wait to channel my Bart Scott.
Yeah, well, yeah. We all obviously, if you look at the numbers on the bottom of the screen, it's the biggest game of the year. Quickly, the 2001 season that Mike Reese was referencing when you guys won the Super Bowl, you were on that team.
Yep.
How much does this team remind you of that team?
A lot. It reminds me a lot because of they play complementary football. The quarterback is still developing. He's not a game manager. He's just orchestrating everything. They're physical in the run game on both sides of the ball. Defensively, that is their strength as a team is on the defensive side of the football. They can get after you up front in their front seven, and they cover really well in the back end.
How much of this game is about the quarterback? How much of this is about Mac Jones?
I think it's all about the quarterback because when you think about Buffalo, what they've been able to do on their coverages, they come in and out. I've watched them you know, play the Jets, and they invert the safeties. They have two of the best safeties in the game. They make a lot of their coverages post-snap, and they're going to confuse Mac Jones, and it's going to be important that he doesn't turn the ball over and give the ball away, give Josh Allen that offense extra possessions. This is going to be an intriguing game, and I think it's going to come down at the end of the day to like the last quarter, because I know Bill Belichick knows how to ugly a game up and make it ugly and slow it down. But this defense for the Patriots also gave up almost 240 yards rushing last week.
Remember, these teams play twice in the next 3 weeks, so right. It's going to be fascinating. In the meantime, as we continue, can anything save the Steelers? With absolutely everything going wrong and their arch rivals ready to end them once and for all this weekend, it's Ravens week, and we'll get you ready for it. In the meantime, we're also ready for this. Sneaky Hembo of this one's Bart, which team has the longest active streak without finishing last in its division? Oh, that's a sneaky question. The answer's next.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
All right, we are back, and Bart Scott, here we go.
Sneaky Hembo for you. Very Which sneaky. Team has the longest active streak without finishing last in its division?
It's tough, man, because I know that the Steelers is, you know, hadn't lost under Tomlin, but then again, they used to be the AFC South. We had the Tennessee Titans. I'm gonna go with the Packers of Green Bay because they had Brett Favre and they had Aaron
Rodgers.
Aaron.
You talked yourself out of the right answer. It is the Steelers. Yeah! The Pittsburgh Steelers have not finished last in their division since 1988, which is really a remarkable run. The Seahawks are next. The Patriots come after that. The Packers had a year in there where Rodgers got hurt, and they finished in last. So why are we talking about the Steelers? Because it is getting late early after the Steelers allowed more than 40 points in back-to-back losses. Their defense is a shell of itself. On Monday, our Ryan Clark on this show was fired up talking about it, and Mike Tomlin responded by sort of supporting what RC said. I want you to hear both of those.
Because they're not my beloved Steelers anymore. Nobody's scared to play this team. There's absolutely no physicality. There's no energy defensively. There's no tone setters. This Pittsburgh defense ain't jack. And I ain't talking about Jack Lambert. I ain't talking about Jack Ham. I'm talking about Jack, and you know the rest of the word. Y'all ain't that.
Guys that have been here, guys that have been in that room, guys that understand the standards that we aspire to, they probably have a better understanding of that than anybody that's not in that room right now.
But it's just a fascinating turn of events when the coach kind of seems to side with the guy in the media, even if he is a former player and they really like each other. But Diana, you made sort of an interesting observation about the way the Bengals viewed that game.
Yeah, you heard the players after the game. I also spoke to people in Cincinnati after that the Steelers were playing with no heart, that they gave up. Think about that phrase, how Mike Tomlin hears that, to know that his players, it's one thing to go out there and not have the talent, but to not have the passion. Isn't that what the Pittsburgh Steelers defense has been known for all these years? To get up, to that smash mouth kind of football, players are usually scared to face the Steelers. And now, to give up? You know, I had one person say to me, I shared this earlier with you guys, that they retired Ben Roethlisberger, that the Cincinnati Bengals retired him in that one game. That's how little effort they were putting into it.
What do you think, Bart?
Listen, like my last year with the Jets, I heard that same sentiment that they had never heard a Rex Ryan team seem to give up. You know, what happens is when, you know, the Steelers have had a luxury that they just don't have anymore. They had Ben Roethlisberger. Ben Roethlisberger, arguably, during that period, I know they had Troy Polamalu, James Harris. He was arguably the toughest player that they've had. I've seen this guy. I thought I killed him. I remember I seen Haloti Ngata break his nose, and all he did was put tissue in it. Right? He's not the player that he used to be. Right, and what happens is you don't have that luxury of being able to play complementary football, right? Because now they have to throw the ball so many times that their defense just gets up all the time, and they look at their snaps. They don't have the opportunity. You can't tell me that Hayward isn't a baller. You can't tell me that T.J. Watt isn't a baller. You can't tell me that Minkah Fitzpatrick isn't a baller. What happens is now, listen, the end of eras are always ugly, right? We saw this happen with Eli Manning not too long, same draft class. And right now they don't have the ability to limit the game, to be able to, you know, win the time of possession. And that defense is just getting exposed because it's simply out there too much.
I have to push back on that. I mean, Joe Mixon ran through them. He ran around them. He ran over them.
They're
talking trash in their face. I mean, we've seen the Bengals look very average a lot of times this year, and they just, both times, they smashed the Steelers.
Is that the same Bengals that smashed the Baltimore Ravens?
It's the same Bengals that lost to the Jets.
But this ain't the same Bengals, right? This Bengals team is talented. They present so many options, just so many obstacles on the outside. They have three great receivers, and Joe Mixon has always been a great dual threat guy. It was just their night that day, man.
Let me come to you on this. And they're playing Baltimore. I mean, of all things, they get Baltimore this weekend. Their arch rival with a chance to end that, really end it, it feels like, once and for all.
Man, listen, if you can't summon whatever energy juice you have for the Baltimore Ravens, then you are really done.
Yeah.
I mean, like literally, this could be, again, like you said, an end of an era. If you can't summon up whatever against the team that you hate the most in the Baltimore Ravens, because look, just watching that Cincinnati, you got linemen dancing on the field, Joe Mixon clowning, like, that's the Bengals. Like, I know the Bengals are good. I know the Bengals are good this year, but let's be real here. Most people be like, you can't have the Bengals clowning you like that. And they just ran all, every which way through the Pittsburgh Steelers. That is embarrassing. I understand what Ryan Clark was talking about as far as, a standard in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
That was it. Were we watching a standard? As the Cincinnati Bengals ran roughshod all the way through the Pittsburgh Steelers?
Let's refresh.
Come on, man.
Let me get Lewis in on this. And Lewis, you know the history of this as well. You played in Cleveland, so you understand that rivalry, going all the way back to that sort of thing. What do you think about the Steelers? Can they, with the whole world writing them off, the world has written off the Steelers. They get Baltimore this weekend. What do you think?
Look, I just think that right now, especially on the offensive side, and I understand the defensive issues against Cincinnati and how Joe Mixon clowned them, and that's a whole different discussion. But think about this on the offensive side of the football. They're just not able to capture the line of scrimmage and impose their will on that side of the ball the way they've been accustomed to and the way they have been accustomed to for years, especially in Ben Roethlisberger's best years. That's what they did. And if they can't do that, it just really has a trickle-down effect on the rest of the team. It just does. They play a very lateral, finesse type of game now, as opposed to a much more vertical, power-oriented, physically dominant type of game that they have played in their best years. And I know the game is changing. I know that the game has become one where you want to be much more varied in offense in terms of making defenses defend every blade of grass. But that really gets away from what the identity of this football team is. And I think that's the crux of the problem here. The identity of the team is unknown right now. It's definitely not a physical football team as they were in the past. And I think it has kind of spread to the rest of the roster. The defense has lost some of its swagger, some of its confidence. It doesn't play the same way. We watched Cincinnati on Monday Night Football do the same thing to them last year. This has been coming. This has been happening kind of in fits and starts, over the past 2 years, and right now, it doesn't look good. I just think they're headed for a big rebuild this offseason, yeah, for sure, starting at
quarterback. I have 15 seconds. How much joy do you take in this? How much pleasure do you take in seeing this?
People always think that I hate the Patriots. There's no team has taken more from me than the Pittsburgh Steelers. They stopped me from going to the Super Bowl twice. They were the stumble that stopped me from going to Super Bowl. I am dancing on their grave. I am so happy that finally they got to go back to the Tommy Maddox era. They got to go to the Cordell Stewart
era. Oh, my God.
Listen, death in Pittsburgh. And to that grandma that mooned me that time, ha, 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 if she's still alive.
We had a great, great college football. I don't even know what that was, but it was hilarious. All right, our ABC College Football Conference Championship weekend is going to be epic. We got the Big 12 title game, which is everything. Baylor and Oklahoma State, that's an enormous game for playoff consequences. Then Houston-Cincinnati, equally enormous for the playoff. And then Lewis can't wait to watch Pittsburgh take on Wake Forest for the ACC title. It's all on ABC and the ESPN app. One app, one tap. Coming up, there's one team in the NFL that needs to dump their young quarterback and go all in on Russell Wilson. We'll tell you which team that is as we continue. And then it is the most dangerous segment on television. Damian Woody making his picks, smashing tiny helmets with a giant mallet. Someone is going to get hurt. Here, get up on ESPN.
All right.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
We are back on Get Up. Diana Russini, let's run the hurry up. A bunch of injury news out there. What's going on with Justin Fields?
Get greedy. Always good news when you see a player that's been injured out on the practice field. Justin Fields yesterday was there in Chicago. He's dealing with that rib injury, but slow your roll just yet. Andy Dalton is taking all the reps with the starters. Matt Nagy wants to make sure that Fields is 100% before he puts him back out there as the starter. So for now, as of now, it's Andy Dalton that will start against the Arizona Cardinals. And speaking of the Cardinals, They are getting some good news. They got both their stars back out on the practice field. Both these guys, Kyler Murray, DeAndre Hopkins, haven't played in a game with the Cardinals in over 4 weeks. Mm. These guys out back at practice, both saying after practice, talking to the reporters, that they feel good. They're hopeful that they're going to be in the lineup against the Bears. And then meantime, the Tampa Bay Bucks, they're going to be without their key weapon, Antonio Brown, for another 2 weeks. Sources have told our Adam Schefter. Bruce Arians said that he was going to be listed as doubtful against the Atlanta Falcons, so we'll see if it will be another week. It was an ankle injury originally. Then it became something else. So it's going to be another 2 weeks, though, without Antonio Brown with the Tampa Bay Bucks.
Yeah, and we've mentioned it. They have so many weapons there, but they've clearly missed him. Brown and Gronkowski are two guys that obviously Brady feels very comfortable with. Getting Gronk back last week, they looked a lot better. Then we work our way to Seattle. Russell Wilson and the Seahawks struggling mightily this year. They're 3-8. Before the season, as you'll recall, Wilson and his agent gave a trade list of teams that they'd be willing to go to, which added doubts to Wilson's future in Seattle. Yesterday here on this show, Tim Hasselbeck gave us another spot he thinks might be a good fit for Russell Wilson.
How about the New York Giants? Look, with all this talk about there maybe being a front office change in New York. Look, you know, the way that Daniel Jones has played, been injured, and things have gone there. Some pressure in New York, a market that he probably would like to be in after being in Seattle for so long. So, look, it's early. I'm sure we'll talk about it all offseason, but how about the Giants as a potential landing spot for Russell Wilson?
All right, and so we got into a very heated debate earlier this morning about just how good Russell Wilson remains. Let me ask you, Bart, and you'll be on there on Bart and Hahn later today talking about this on the radio.
Yeah.
Do you believe the Giants, right now they have the 6th and 7th picks in the draft.
Yeah.
Should they be, at this point, with Daniel Jones where he is and everything else, should they be making the huge trade this offseason to get Russell Wilson?
I mean, I think they're going to call, and I think they should call, right? They have the ammunition to go get a player like Russell Wilson that will instantly, you know, bring all those weapons they have to like. Can you imagine Russell Wilson in an RPO with Saquon Barkley? But I just don't see how it gets done because, one, I don't see Seattle wanting to trade him within the NFC because they know what they would have to potentially see him. But I think this is a marriage that's, you know, headed towards divorce. And I think they have to, right? They want to do right by Russell Wilson, but also Russell Wilson can be the gift that continues to keep giving. Remember, they gave up 2 first-round draft picks for Jamal Adams, so they can't even rebuild their football team. I think, you know, if they want to do right by Bobby Wagner and Russell Wilson, they get rid of him, but I think they send those players to the AFC, probably the Denver Broncos, because they're a team that's looking to upgrade at the quarterback position and has history in taking older quarterbacks and taking them to the Super Bowl.
That's an interesting one. I mean, D. Wood, you live right there in New Jersey, so you're close to the situation. Here's the Giants have 2 reasons Seattle might want to consider it. They could be 2 top 10 picks, which is a great way to try and remake your team. Should the Giants do it?
Yeah, I mean, listen, if you got an opportunity to solve the quarterback position, then you got to do it, right? I mean, that's always been the piece of the puzzle for a lot of teams, just trying to figure out, do we have our guy? Well, listen, Russell Wilson in 2021, he hasn't been cooking. Now, if we go off of what Russell Wilson has been, you know, most of his career, then absolutely. Yeah. So, to me, it's all about, well, what am I getting? Which Russell Wilson am I getting?
Well, the problem is Daniel Jones has given us spurts of good, right? Because here's the thing. We're assuming the Giants are moving on from Daniel Jones at this conversation here.
Right.
We don't know what they're doing, despite the fact that we both live in New Jersey. And apparently, according to you, we have dinner with Dave Gettleman every night. That's why we know so much about the Giants. But that being
said, we don't even know who's going to be making this decision when all is said and done.
Exactly. We don't even know.
But I do know that if Russell Wilson is available, that strikes me as something almost every team in the NFL would be interested in.
Which means Russ can cook D. Wood.
You definitely need to make that call to see if he's available and what it would take. But again, what if they're set on Daniel Jones? What if ownership says, no, we want to stick with the plan here. We believe in him. If he can stay healthy, which we know he has struggled with, he's got the pieces around him, perhaps maybe a new GM, a new head coach, depending on what happens.
He's hurt now, right? Daniel Jones is hurt again now.
He has a neck injury. He's out of practice. Mike Glenn is going to be the starter this weekend. But
Mike Glenn is still alive?
That's not nice. Let me get Lewis back in the conversation here on all this. What do we make? The Russell Wilson, you know, you said earlier, he can still cook. You had him on Monday Night Football this week. We know he's been playing hurt. How about that fit? If he is looking to move on during this offseason, do you think the Giants feel like a fit?
Yeah, of course they do. Because of the market, because of the franchise history, because of the fact that
it seems like Russ is going to want a new start. And I think for New York, look, they have three avenues, okay? They can stick with what they have. They can look to address it in the draft, or they can look to address the quarterback position via a veteran acquisition. So those are the three choices. I don't know where they really stand right now with Daniel Jones. It's hard to really evaluate him because you have to apply context to it. And by context, I mean how the offensive line looked, how was the play calling early in the season, which I think by all accounts, it wasn't good enough. That's why Jason Garrett isn't there anymore. How much of it is on him? How much do we think he still could improve individually? Who's going to be the coach next year? Who's going to be picking the players next year? Where does John Mara stand on giving up two picks, two possible first-round picks for a veteran quarterback? That's something that they typically have not done in their past. So there's a lot of variables that could really come into play here when you're talking about Russell Wilson joining the New York Giants. But I would not rule it out. I would not close down that discussion at all, because there is no way right now that they can say, we know for sure that Daniel Jones is the franchise quarterback. There's just no way they can say that.
Well, this is a crossroads they haven't been at in a very long time. For the last basically 20 years, they've had Eli Manning, who was the first pick in the draft, and then they took Daniel Jones, whether the world liked it or not. They took him number six overall. So this is a crossroads. Would you be moving on from Daniel Jones right now if you're the Giants?
I mean, yeah. I mean, he's not. If he was special, we would know. And I hope and I pray to God that Lewis makes the right decision next year.
Oh,
I knew someone. You trade him for Russell?
Just way to throw me out there on Front Street, Bart.
Just keeping it Brazil.
I knew someone would say it. Diana will text you later for the story on it.
Lou will definitely not be giving me any scoop if he becomes a GM. I can promise you that.
Tomorrow night, we've got a great doubleheader coming your way here on ESPN. We'll be back for Joel Embiid and the Sixers taking on Trae Young and the Hawks. That's at 7:30 Eastern. And then the battle for L.A., Paul George and the Clippers taking on Anthony Davis and the Lakers. We'll start your coverage with Countdown 7 Eastern right here on ESPN. Meanwhile, First Take coming up top of the hour here is all the pressure on Dak tonight in New Orleans. And are Lamar's Ravens a legit threat in the AFC? It's First Take, Molly, Stephen A., Dan Orlovsky coming your way at the top of the hour. But between now and then, you've been waiting for it all morning long. It's Damian Woody making his picks. He's a very large man with a very large mallet, and those are very small helmets, and they're going to get smashed next on ESPN.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
All right, we got the 14th Women's Big Ten ACC Challenge continuing with a doubleheader tonight. Michigan-Louisville at 7 Eastern, followed by Duke and Iowa, both games on ESPN and the ESPN app. One app, one tap. All right, time for the helmets. Big men, tiny helmets. I take my word for it. He's got the shield. We got the goggles. Who gets their helmet smashed?
Do not kill me with these helmets.
Yourself.
You might want to put that shirt up.
A little piece of that actually went in my mouth.
You okay?
No, I have like a little bit of helmet in my mouth.
I'm sorry. Look, I'm literally taking out the set here. This shrapnel be going everywhere. I got myself with the shrapnel.
This segment is dangerous. Here we go. He's a big man with a huge mallet and these little tiny helmets here, and that's the way we're going to pick three of the big games on this weekend schedule. Okay, we've talked a lot about Ravens-Steelers this morning, D. Wood. What do you think?
Yeah, listen, I think this is the last stand for the Pittsburgh Steelers. They just got ramshotted by the Cincinnati Bengals. Now they got their arch rivals in the Baltimore Ravens. I still think it's going to be more of the same for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Look at that. See what happened? See what the universe does? Yeah. You ate the Steelers, and the shrapnel hit you right there.
You didn't even
liver.
You
didn't protect me.
Bart's been hit. Okay, our next game is the biggest game of the year. We've said repeatedly this morning, it's the Bills and the Patriots on Monday Night Football in Buffalo. Ooh. What do you think?
Hey, this one right here is going to be bully ball right here. We saw what the Tennessee Titans. We saw what the Indianapolis Colts with the Buffalo.
Still work.
Okay. Are the Buffalo Bills going to be able to take body blows in this one?
Oh.
You see that?
That's, that was that's
that's a direct blow right there to the Buffalo Bills and Bills Mafia. I think they're in for an assault by the New England Patriots.
Yeah. That one is.
Yeah, that's smash.
The way we drew this.
Yeah, that's smash. That's smash.
All right, finally, tonight, Cowboys, Saints in New Orleans. Dallas is a 5.5-point favorite for whatever that is worth. We got the tiny helmets. Who do you like, D. Wood?
Yeah, listen, we said on the show, Dallas, this is it, right? Are we going to be talking about the same old Cowboys? We're talking about a depleted New Orleans Saints team on both sides of the ball. If you can't beat the New Orleans Saints, we have no business talking about the Dallas Cowboys as far as the Super Bowl. So I'm going to go with the – I'm going to smash the New Orleans Saints right there. Dallas, don't make me look stupid here. Get it done tonight on Thursday Night Football.
Oh, I really like that. Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's bring everybody in on that. Again, Thursday Night Football, Cowboys. That line just moved. It was 4.5 points when I checked it this morning. It's now 5.5 points. But taking the spread out of the equation, this is a huge game tonight. Diana Russini, who's going to win?
I think the Dallas Cowboys, and I don't think it actually has anything to do with anything but health. The Cowboys are just healthier than the New Orleans Saints right now.
And the Saints, run through that again. They're banged up in a
variety
of ways.
Yeah, their offensive line, Teron Armstead, Ryan Ramczyk, they're both questionable for tonight's game. They have a completely beat-up offensive line. They're going to be a second-tier starting unit out there. Alvin Kamara, questionable for tonight. Sources I spoke with this morning say it's not looking good. Him most likely will not be playing in this game tonight. So
And we got Taysom Hill.
And Taysom Hill, who's dealing with a foot injury, and that's really going to be about pain management for him out there.
Okay. I'm not sure why Hembo is laughing. Something funny is going on.
Because you guys all took your glasses off. I'm giving news and goggles. Sorry. It actually makes me look smarter. It helps the credit.
Louis Riddick, Cowboys Saints tonight. Who do you like?
Yeah, I'm going with the Cowboys, too, because they have to. They better win this game. They better win this game. I'm just telling you, the Washington football team's coming. There's some big games coming down the stretch. They outman the New Orleans Saints. They have no business losing this football game. I don't care if it's on the road or not. They better find a way to win it.
No, and so D. Wood picked them as well. How about you, Bart Scott? Are we going to get a clean sweep?
No, not at all. I'm going with the New Orleans Saints. I think just the emotion of being back at home, you know, being able to play, you know, Taysom Hill's going to give a quick little spark. I think this defense, people don't realize just how good this Saints defense is. I think they're going to run into a buzzsaw. Mark Cooper, I don't know if he's going to be back as far as his lung capacity, be able to be dominant, so that allows them to load up on CeeDee Lamb.
Okay, and I've got the Cowboys as well, and I think they will win this game tonight. But I will say, and I agree with you, if they don't win this game tonight, then everything that we have said about them, I think, gets reassessed. We go from talking about, well, are the Cowboys the Super Bowl team, to are the Cowboys going to hold off the competition in what we thought was a terrible NFC East? That's what's at stake for them tonight. You good?
I'm good. All right. We got, I don't know where the face mask went with the Dallas Cowboys, but
this is the best one. This is Hall
great
fame.
Fun today. Thanks, everybody, for getting up. We'll see you back in Better Than Ever tomorrow. First Take starts now.